Welcome to Breitbart News Daily. Mike Slater, thanks for being here. Kicked off the show on Monday with our gratitude segment. Had two spectacular phone calls on gratitude, which I think is the prerequisite foundational virtue that we need to have all the other virtues that we need in order to save this country. So we spend the first segment every Monday talking about that. So thank you to people called in. If you were not able to call in, but you'd like to contribute to Gratitude Mondays, you can send me a note, of course, Slater@Breitbart.com, Slater@Breitbart.com. Then we did our annual Earth Day segment about why recycling is a huge waste of time, money, and energy, and you should stop doing it. And then we got into the news of the day. We'll play our opening segment of the 7 o'clock hour, the second hour here, where we talk about $60 billion to Ukraine, which happened on Saturday. But it wasn't just that. They were sure also then to rub it in our faces. Let's talk about Ukraine. So, $60 billion voted on by the House this weekend. $60 billion. Okay. Now, some will say, oh, Slater, you're getting all in a tizzy about $60 billion when we have a debt of $34 trillion. What's the big deal? Which is crazy. Like, we are two different people. If you look at the debt of $34 trillion and you say, what's another $60 billion? I don't know what to do with you then, right? I gotta know, like, we're just on different planets. Because I think to a sane person, you would look and say, wow, we're in debt $34 trillion. We definitely should not be spending $60 billion on anything. I meant to ask this to Ron Johnson when we talked to him last week, Senator from Wisconsin. Because he's a Tea Party guy. That was his, he came in on the Tea Party. And I wonder if money, like, is that talked about at all? Indeed, like, is there any even hint of anyone talking about any sort of fiscal principles at all in D.C.? Or is it just game on? It's just, there's not even, it's just all, like, pretend funny money that we're spending. So $60 billion for Ukraine. So Ukraine's, a couple things. Ukraine's going to lose this war. Best case scenario is there will be some sort of peace deal and Russia will get most of what it wanted anyway. Jesse Kelly then predicts there'll be another $500 billion to rebuild Ukraine. We have to spend money on, we have to do that too. But that, like, Ukraine's going to lose. Remember at the very beginning of this, it was, I think it was Lindsey Graham talked about how we need to roll into Russia and have a regime change in Moscow. It's like, geez, guys. We'll talk in a minute about what $60 billion will buy for Ukraine. But before we do that, a couple surreal things happened as we were spending this money. By the way, if you're watching on the TV, I got to get a new chair. This chair's no good. The chair, it just falls down. Whatever pistons are underneath my chair, it falls down too much. I got to lift it back up every like 5 minutes. So when they passed the bill, Democrats started waving tiny Ukrainian flags. Not tiny like would go in a margarita, but you know, like a little flag, right? They started waving flags, Ukrainian flags on the floor of the House, of the US House. I want to be clear with what we're talking about. The floor of the US House, United States Congress people representing citizens of the United States started waving flags of Ukraine. If you are going to vote to give $60 billion to Ukraine, if you think that this is a necessary evil and you wish this weren't the case, but Joe Biden's weakness got us to the point where Putin knew he could get away with it, so we're stuck now, and I guess we got to pay the piper in a way, and you hate it, but $60 billion, so you hold your nose, and you vote for it in shame, and you go home and you feel terrible about it, that's one thing. But you don't whip out your Ukrainian flag and celebrate it. I find that so wildly inappropriate for members of Congress to be waving the flag of a foreign nation in any circumstance. And I was trying to think, like, when that would be appropriate. I don't, I was like, okay, Slater, would I get, would I don't call myself Slater, but would I get offended if they were waving the British flag? Would I get offended if our Congress people were waving the British flag? Would I feel? Yeah, I would. There's not, it's not, you don't wave any other flag. But this is how not America first they are. They're rubbing in your face. Rubbing it in your face. How not America first. See, this is what Trump does. Trump makes every Democrat, because of Trump derangement syndrome, do the opposite. One of these days, we'll get to this. Wow. There's a great abortion example of it, where Bill Maher, last week, Bill Maher was like, yeah, abortion's murder. But, you know, whatever. There's too many people. Jeez. But he said, you know what? This Bill Maher, and there's some other guy, some other progressive too. He's like, you know what? I respect the pro-life people who are all in on pro-life and no, with no exceptions. I really respect those people. Like, what? What are you talking? Like, so, but Trump got the baby murderers to say that, to respect the pro-lifers, because if you're Trump derangement syndrome, you have to be the opposite of whatever Trump does. And Trump took the middle of the road approach. So because of that, these people on the far left are like, hey, those pro-lifers who are all in on pro-life, they're really good people, and I really respect their principled stance. That's great. That's what Trump derangement syndrome does. And that's Trump derangement syndrome here, too. Trump's America first. So what has he gotten the Democratic Congress people to do in this country? Wave Ukrainian flags on the floor of the United States House, rubbing it in your face about how not America first they are. Trump is America first. Democrats in Congress are waving the Ukrainian flag. The only scenario that I could come up with where it's appropriate to wave the flag of a foreign nation, I got two. And correct me, maybe there's another one. Or maybe you think it's no big deal, and that's fine too. 866-95-PATRIOT. I'm exaggerating here. If you'd like to make that argument, or if you can think of another reason where it'd be appropriate to wave the flag of a foreign nation on in the floor of the U.S. House. So the one of them is, if we were under attack and another country came in and rescued us, then I think it would be okay for us to wave the flag of that nation that rescued us. So it should be the Ukrainian parliament who should be waving our flag. Are they doing that at least? But we're waving their flag? Why are we waving their flag? Are they waving our flag? So the scenario would be if we were attacked by China and we were losing, but then England came in and, dropped a nuke on. I don't know what they did. They saved us somehow with a bunch of boats or something. Right? Then I think it'd be good for Congress to wave the flags. And they're like, thank you for doing that. I'm okay with that. And the only other circumstance I can think of where it's appropriate to wave the flag of a foreign nation is if that nation attacks us and wins. So when the Chinese come in to D.C. and they conquer us and they say, here, wave this flag or else we shoot you in the head, then I could see why someone would wave the flag. I wouldn't. I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country, is the line that you should say. But I could see how someone would wave a flag, and that's a trick. So it's the hoisting of the flag of the victors. That's it. That's flying. A flag is the... like, that's the sign of defeat. When you take over a fort, you put up the new flag. A flag is a sign of, it could be a sign of victory, I suppose. We go to the moon. What do? Put a flag in it. We won. What do you do when you conquer the mountaintop in Iwo Jima? You put a flag up there. We actually put a flag up there, and then we went up and put a bigger flag up there. That's the flag we know of Iwo Jima. It's the second flag. But for us to give $60 billion to Ukraine, and then we wave the flag, like everyone should be, there should be a visceral disgust to that. And the fact that there's not, I think, shows how, well, defeated we already are. I think we're demoralized. I think we're a demoralized people, where we could be waving the flag of a different nation. James Lindsay shared a picture. This is, if there's kids in the car, you can turn the radio down for 10 seconds. James Lindsay shared a picture of these Dems waving the flag, and he said, what kind of gay sex are the Democrats all supporting now? Like, what pride flag is this one? And someone wrote back, oh, that's the globosexual flag. I like that line. Globosexual. Globosexual day of visibility. David Sachs said, I became a U.S. citizen in 1982. As part of that process, my family took an oath of loyalty to the United States, and that oath also required us to forswear loyalty to any other country. I always remember that when I see Americans waving foreign flags. Of course. This is Congresswoman Luna from Florida. You can barely hear. Let's see if it comes across here.
The House will be in order. Without objection, a motion to reconsider is laid on the table. For what purpose does the gentleman from Florida rise? I said. No. The gentlewoman from Florida.
Put the darn flags away, she said. Coming up, let's take some phone calls here, but speaking of flags, coming up in an hour, we're going to talk with Emma Jo Morris. Yale was trending on the Twitter yesterday because at Yale and Columbia in particular, there's a lot of pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine, anti-Israel protests on campus. And I'm sure there are all the time on these campuses. But this one made particular news for different reasons that we'll talk about in an hour. But at Yale, they're camping out outside of the... Well, then this big courtyard. And this is right outside the War Memorial. There's a lot of things in this little courtyard, but it's next to the War Memorial, and there's a big flag. It's where it's like the one flag on campus. it's the one American flag on campus. And they tore it down. They tore down the flag up on top. And this, they say they put up the Palestinian flag. I don't see a video of that. I don't know if that part, but they tore down the American flag.
Viva Palestina!
Tearing it down. I heard someone say that people who say "Make America Great Again" are a threat to democracy, but people who say "Death to America" for some reason aren't. Go to Anne, who's in Massachusetts. Anne, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So I just think that whole like little flag waving is more of a demonstration, a manifestation of the Democrats' really infantile and immature emotionalism. I think they are childlike in their thinking. I don't understand it, but I think that's really what it speaks to.
Yeah, I like that.
I
just
think it's part of their ideology. They don't critically think. They're simplistic. I mean, think about it. What do little five-year-olds do in class, you know, when someone says to celebrate, they wave their little flags. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to call my congressman, Jake Auchincloss, and just say, what are you, five, six, seven? How old are you?
Yeah,
Seriously, it's appalling.
Yeah, I like this. I think what you just did there, you took it away from traitorous behavior, more into, I like your childlike, simplistic, foolish behavior. I think that's probably more accurate, because if you're going to give $60 billion, it should be done, what's the word I'm looking for, it should be done, I don't want to say reluctantly, but
somberly.
Yeah,
with
like
soberly.
It's a war we're talking about.
Exactly. It's $60 billion to feed young men into the war machine, to grind them up. I honestly just find it appalling that my money is going to that. It really troubles me to my core that the Republicans, that Mike Johnson, really, I honestly, people say, you know, what's going on with him? The only explanation in my mind is he's being extorted. That's all I can think of, because why would he pivot 180 degrees from what he said he was and what he was going to do?
Yeah, there's a couple massive flip-flops. Is there any way, Anne, that he, now that he has this position, he's privy to more information than you or I, certainly, and then even he was as a regular congressman, and now he sees what really does need to happen?
That's such a straw. I mean, I know you don't believe that. It's just such a straw man, stupid argument, as if there's so much more intelligence than what our own eyes can see, and you know, what our really intrepid journalists all across alternative media have been doing and been trying to say, and are being shut down all the time. I don't think that there's anything more. I think it's as simple as he was maybe some sort of little, probably not a big skeleton in his closet, but something that would ruin his reputation, or that he's emotionally, you know, married to, that he doesn't want out. And I think it happens quite a bit. It happens quite a bit, because there's no rational explanation for his pivot.
And I appreciate the call. There's a few other pivots as well. We'll go to Brian, who is specifically in Memphis, Tennessee. Brian, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good, brother. What's on your mind here? Waving flags. Waving the Ukrainian flag.
Well, the only other way that I would possibly think that it would be proper to wave anybody else's flag is, let's say in some strange world, someone decided to level London, or, you know, completely bring an attack that rivals 9/11 to one of our allies. And we knew that we were going to war with these people. Now, do I think it should be a celebratory flag waving? No. But we can stand in solidarity with that country and let them know, hey, we have your back. But this, oh, we're so happy we're giving $60 billion that we could be giving to our veterans. We're going to send them overseas and look at us. No. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Brian, thanks for that scenario. Yeah, that's something. I think, like, our allies did that after 9/11, right? There's American flags everywhere, all over the place. Floor of the U.S. I see your reluctancy as well. Floor in the House, this is just different. But it's the happiness that you brought up at the end there. It's the happiness. We're so happy. Yee, it's a glee. There's some video, a C-SPAN video of the floor where one of the congresspeople, women, is handing out a bunch of flags. And there is a giddiness to it that is weird. Which leads to a second, this is a pretty good tie into a second weird thing that happened with this vote. Jason Crow is a Democratic congressman from Colorado. He's 45. He was in the 82nd Airborne. One of his staffers videoed him on a FaceTime call. Here's his tweet. Just got off a video call with Ukrainian soldiers fighting on the front lines to tell them that the House is moments away from passing critical Ukraine support. Help is coming. Ammunition will be on the way. Hold strong. Slava Ukraini. So it's a video of him on a video call. And he says, Slava Ukraini. I think we've talked before Trump's announced, I think it was Trump's first, I think it was when he was announced for president in 2020. He said, we want to make America great and glorious again. That's what Slava Ukraine means, glory to Ukraine. And I think Trump likes that word. Glory. I do too. When you think of glory, what do you think of? I think of old glory. I think of the flag. Or the only other time I think of glory is when you want to restore something to its former glory. As in make America great again. There's a spiritual aspect to the word glory, right? The glory of God. You do things for his glory. Soli Deo Gloria. Glory to God alone. Right? So there's a lot going on, like, revival-wise with the word glory. And maybe we need, like, a secular, civil, national revival. But when Trump, if Trump ever uses that word again, wait for it, because he will be called a radical nationalist. So it'll be a bad thing. If Trump ever uses the word glory ever again, it will be bad. How dare, and when it refers to America, right? If he ever says we need to return America to its former glory, oh, slavery, it'll be a terrible thing. But at the same time, our congressman today can tweet out glory to Ukraine. And he's a great patriot. You got it? See how that works now? Anyway, here's this. I just think this is weird. I don't even really have any further analysis on this. I just think this is really odd. This again, this is the congressman talking to, I guess, Ukrainian soldiers on the front lines, and they're taking a video of it. So it's like this big, it's this obviously staged thing. I don't know who he's talking to, where they are, how he got their number. Like, this is a weird propaganda thing that I look forward to talking to Emma Cho about, but here's how it went down.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Hey.
Hey, good. It's good to see you. I just wanted to give you an update that I'm about to walk across the street from my office here in Washington, and we're gonna take the vote right now. We're voting right now for aid for Ukraine to give you the support you need. So we're gonna get this passed out of the House of Representatives. We're gonna send it to the Senate. The Senate will vote on it soon. We're behind you, we're rooting for you. We're gonna give you the support that you guys all need right now to fight and win.
Let me jump ahead here.
I think it's there too. Well, we believe in you, we're behind you. You're doing an amazing job. Your bravery, your courage is just inspiring to all of us. So we're gonna pass this bill. I talked to the administration, they're actually getting weapons and ammunition and equipment ready right now in our stores and depots in Europe, so we can surge it very quickly and get it to you.
Super, thank you so much.
All right, be well, be safe. Slava Ukraini.
Thank you, Justin Grove, for inspiration and for this connection with voice.
Slava Ukraini, there's glory to Ukraine. Like, what the heck is that? That's so weird. Isn't that weird? Tell me I'm not alone. That's weird. Please, someone tell me that's just weird propaganda thing. I don't think he or has ever called any of the border agents to tell them no money is coming to help them do their job. Should someone should go to Jason Crow with a FaceTime call with a border agent in Texas. But, okay, Jason, you want to give any words of encouragement? You want to give any Slava America to our border agents? Hey guys, we got no money for you. And more dangerous than ever for you to do your job down there. And by the way, if we ever get any video of you raising a finger against any of these illegal aliens, we are going to ruin your entire career, maybe your entire life. So great to talk to you. I'm off to go to give a vote to give you no money. And I'm going to campaign for Biden so that your job is so miserable that you quit, because that's our ultimate goal with everything, just like we did with the police department. Terry, you're next. So, Slava Mexico. 866-95-PATRIOT. 866-95-PATRIOT. Go to Mike in Michigan. I'll be in Michigan in a couple weeks going to Petoskey. I've been there before. Petoskey. Beautiful little town. Mike, what's going on?
Hey.
How you doing, sir?
Petoskey is a beautiful town.
And it's a little idyllic little place.
I am down in the armpit, though, in the Detroit metro area.
Yeah, how could that be the same state? That is, in every way.
So I think, here's my theory. My theory is that all this money we send over there, a percentage of it, gets fed back through these shell corps and Hunter Biden bank accounts and right back into Democrat pockets. And that's why they're so supportive of Ukraine. It's because it's a money laundering scheme.
Yeah. So Mike, I appreciate the call. My instinct, and I've said this openly, and we'll say it and until it's not true. My instinct is never to move in a certain direction to try to figure out why things are. And I always need to be reminded, follow the money. Just follow it. Yeah, there's ideological things, certainly, but just follow the money. So much can be explained if you just follow the money. It's all about money. Money. They just want money. Everyone wants more money. If you can show me the money, and everything will make sense. So here's the New York Times. They wrote an article about where the money's going. Amazingly, they left out the money that's coming back to these Congress bills. If through nothing else, just through donations from the weapons makers, right? Shipments of American weapons could begin flowing to Ukraine after the long-stalled aid package becomes law. With goods from the Pentagon's stockpiles in Germany to be shipped quickly by rail to the Ukrainian border, transfers from the U.S. by cargo aircraft and maritime vessels are typically arranged by the headquarters of the U.S. Transportation Command in rural Illinois, which maintains extensive databases of cargo ports, railways, and roads that can be used by military and civilian transport craft around the world. That's something. Curious what those guys are up to all the time. That's a neat job. Weapons and ammunition sent. I wonder how they feel about sending all this to Ukraine, though. Weapons and ammunition sent to Ukraine are often drawn from Pentagon assets in Europe, with shipments coordinated by an organization created in late 2022 called the Security Assistance Group Ukraine, which is based in Germany and operates with the Pentagon's European Command, has a staff of 300 people. How about that? There's 300 people in our military just in charge of getting the stuff to Ukraine there. Military leaders have sent Ukraine 55 aid packages of weapons called PDAs for presidential drawdown authority, containing a mix of vehicles, ammunition, drones, and other items worth at least $26.3 billion since August 2021. Our defense secretary welcomed congressional movement of the aid package on Saturday. Quote, "The world is still watching. Lives are still on the line. America's long-term security is still at stake. We must never give our friends, our rivals, or any foes any reason to doubt America's resolve." The latest aid package included Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, guided rockets, small anti-tank rockets, and 155-millimeter artillery ammunition that included custom munition rounds. Jeez, I'd love to see a militarization of our border. Like, I'd love to see some Stinger anti-aircraft missiles. We don't even need them, but maybe some drug mules and little airplanes flying over to blow them out of the sky. But how about some of this stuff down south, huh? Now, this is interesting. I've never seen a Made in America effort like this. In the United States, making artillery ammunition takes several weeks as heavy steel bars are forged into empty projectiles in Scranton, then shipped to rural Iowa, where they're filled with explosives and prepared for delivery. General Dynamics, which operates the Pennsylvania factory, is opening a new factory to make metal shell bodies outside Dallas to help increase total number of completed shells. The Army says it makes about 30,000 of the high explosive shells each month, up from about 14,000 per month before this war. The Army's goal is to produce 100,000 155-millimeter artillery projectiles per month by 2025. Jeez, they were making 14,000, now they're making 100,000. That's a lot of money. A lot of money to be made there. But listen, Made in America, right? At least there's some Made in America still happening today. 866-95-PATRIOT, 866-95-PATRIOT. We'll go to Steve, who's in Virginia. What's going on, Steve? Good morning.
Hi, Slater. Great show. Second-time caller. I'd be interested to know if they waved the Israeli flag, because they also provided funds to them, on the floor of the House. Israel is an actual ally and actually has been there to our defense on numerous occasions. I'm wondering if why they didn't raise fly the Israeli flag.
Yeah,
not that you do that. I just want to know why they did the Ukrainian flag and not the Israeli flag.
Yeah, my understanding is this bill was three things, right? It was Israel, Taiwan, Taiwan. And I was Taiwan. This is my Americanness, Taiwan and Thailand, and Ukraine. So yeah, why not all three?
Right. I mean, Israel is a tried and true ally. Ukraine is not our natural ally at all. As a matter of fact, for many, 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 many years, they were our enemy.
That's right. Yeah. The reason, Steve, I appreciate the call. So corrupt that Trump talks to them on the phone and needs to get impeached because of it. Yeah, why not? Why not? Why not all three flags? I'm against any of the flags. But why specifically and only the Ukrainian flag? Great point, Steve. 866-95-PATRIOT. 866-95-PATRIOT. We'll take more of your phone calls coming up next. It's just, it should, and as I love, it was Ann who called in earlier. She just has this, Ann's in tune. Ann's in tune with what's right. It should cause a visceral, you can decide how big of a deal it is, but it should cause a visceral, visceral reaction when you see American congresspeople waving the flag of a foreign nation on the halls of Congress. Like, that should be weird. That should be odd. That should be unacceptable. There should be a visceral, I don't like that. And again, I fear that enough people don't have that, and I think that's a sign of some demoralization happening. But add it to many other sides. Wonderful to talk to the great Emma Jo Morris about not only Ukraine and the Uniparty, but then about what's happening on our college campuses right now. But first, we must go to the humblest of scribes, the great Emma Jo Morris, Breitbart politics editor. Emma Jo, how are you?
Good morning. You're stuck with me first. I'm sorry, everyone.
No, we did it backwards. Usually you end with the best, but we decide to come out always hot with the best. That's how we do it. He gets the last.
That's right.
He's last
I'm
and
the
least.
I'm the warm-up show to get everybody pumped.
No, that's not how it works in radio. It's last and actually least. You put the best up front. That's how we do it. Emma Jo, I got to ask you, so every Monday before we get to much news of the day, we dedicate the first segment of the show, Monday at 6 o'clock, to gratitude. So... because I think gratitude is the most important of the virtues for our country right now. It's like the prerequisite to all the other virtues. So I should have given you a heads up warning. This is your heads up warning of something you're grateful for. And I'll stall to give you another extra second to think. The two people who called in today, one had a stroke 6 weeks ago and was airlifted to the hospital and is fine. Like what? And another woman, her husband got shot in the face in Afghanistan and the bullet went through his mouth in like just the precise angle that he's also like relatively fine as well. And everyone just talking about life after those two things. So that's pretty cool phone call. So you don't have to have one as dramatic as that, because I was thankful for Neosporin because I got a cut on the end of my finger and it's healing pretty well. So like it could be anything, but like what's something you're grateful for?
I feel like I'm more in like thankful for Neosporin territory than thankful for like
shot
real
in the head.
Problems being solved. So
yes.
That's good. Thanks for making me feel better. I'm like, yeah, I haven't had any similar experiences to those two, but I can still be grateful. You know, these things are all relative. Sorry, by the way, my throat is a little, I'm a little under the weather this morning. I'm so
okay.
Sorry if it's annoying or my voice sounds different.
No,
but my gratitude is to first of all, this country. I'm in Florida right now for Passover at my in-laws, and it's such a beautiful country, and no matter where you go and every corner of the country, it's like we were talking last time I was on, I think about the city versus the country, and it was like, I feel like, you know, it's easy to kind of wind up and be like, the city is loud and the people are annoying, but that actually wasn't where I was coming from. I do love the city. I do love New York. You know, I think it's going through a tough period right now, but I'm still grateful for it. I still always had kind of some awe for New York growing up outside of the country, and now I'm in a new area of the country and it feels just as beautiful in a different way. And I tend to be very mindful, especially having moved to this country from a different one, that, wow, like what a blessing it is to live here and what a blessing it is to get to, you know, see all the different landscapes and see all the different environments and the different cultures around the country, and the people are so nice and generous and welcoming and productive and smart. And I'm just so grateful every day that I grow up, that I wake up in the United States. And that's something that I do not take for granted.
Amen. Let's go to Congress right now. Let's first of all ask about just the bill itself, $60 billion to Ukraine. What are we to make of that?
What are we to make of it? Well, I think Lindsey Graham kind of put it very succinctly. You know, he was on Fox. This was totally unintentional, of course. But he was on Fox over the weekend, and he was kind of lambasting J.D. Vance for not supporting sending every last dollar to Ukraine. And he says, go to Ukraine and talk to the people there and get informed on why we need to send the money. Like as if J.D. Vance hasn't done enough research on his Ukrainian constituency. And I think that is kind of... that was so perfectly representative of what the attitude is about this, which is for some reason that is not clear, we owe something to this random country that we have no alliance with, no previous history with, no connection to whatsoever. You know, I mean, maybe I could be willing to have more of a conversation about foreign aid if we are talking about a country that, you know, had our back, or, you know, we have a close relationship with their people. But there is this attitude that we owe something to people just because there's a perception that we have the money. I know that that's a perception internationally, that we have the money. And it's so representative of an outside looking in stance to this country. You know, like I remember when the U.S. Was hosting the U.N. General, well, I guess that always does, but there was the U.N. General Assembly, and you had all these international diplomats in New York City. And so I went down to the Peninsula Hotel, which is where they kind of all go and you know, pretend to be flashy and cool for the night after the UN General Assembly wraps up. And I went and I was talking to a few diplomats. One in particular that stuck out to me that I had a longer conversation with was one from Africa. I don't remember the exact country. But, you know, I said to him something to the effect of, why do you guys think the UN is such a big deal? The United States barely acknowledges the UN. You know, okay, it's on our land, but we think it's a joke. International law isn't real. We're the strongest military in the world, so we just tell you what's up, you know? And every time you try to tell us something, we just ignore you, obviously. And he was like, no, like, the UN is important, da-da-da, and he's going on about the legitimacy of the UN, and he said something to me that was so crazy, so struck me. He was like, the U.S. can afford... Like, he basically was saying the U.S. can afford to do all of the foreign, all of the foreign adventurism that it does, and that the world relies on it, and that's its place, and it'll never stop being that way. And he's just going on this rant to me, basically something that sounded like Lindsey Graham, and that we owe it to the rest of the world, and you can afford it.
Yeah,
and J.D. Vance, back to this original anecdote, is looking around in Ohio, which has been completely gutted by all of these same people who claim that we have a global responsibility, and has seen his own local community languish in the wake of that. So I think that that's kind of, on a meta level, what the disconnect is here.
Let me play this clip here. This is Congressman Jerry Connolly from Virginia.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, that's so disgusting. That makes my blood boil. God, that's disgusting. While our border, our actual border, is being violated 10,000 times a day. Mm-hmm. It's such a joke, you know, it's such a joke. And I wish that these politicians would take, you know, would visit Ukraine, as Lindsey Graham would say, because the Ukrainians understand that they have a border that they want to defend. And I don't blame them for that.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
I actually don't blame Ukraine for their stance in this, which is, get back over the line.
Yes. Yeah.
So I have the same attitude.
That's...
And we're not doing anything to get everybody back over our line. We have boundaries too. And those boundaries are being completely trampled and ignored.
We spent time in the last hour talking about not only the vote, but the fact that the Democrats waved Ukrainian flags on the floor. I found that quite in your face.
Oh, no, these people are dunking on us. Like, they're dunking on us. Like, I mean, does it get... It's... Again, like, I actually tend to take a less cynical view of this, which is they just don't realize there's a total disconnect. They are totally out of touch. They're totally out of touch with what's going on in J.D. Vance's state of Ohio. You know, and they think that they are some sort of international savior. You know, the exact same thing that I kind of just spent this last time outlining. And it's like... But seeing that, it's oh, come on. They knew that there was so much resistance to this. They knew that they were bigfooting the will of working people in order to do this. And then they fly this foreign flag in our Congress? That should be illegal.
How about, I got from your Twitter, you retweeted Jason Crow, this congressman who has staged a video. So his staffers took a video of him doing a FaceTime call with what he said were Ukrainian soldiers on the front lines. And it was so weird. Like, it was just a weird propaganda.
Yeah, was that cringe?
Gimmick.
It was so lame.
Yeah, like what
yeah,
was that?
Like, well, it's. You know, and I think I quote tweeted, like, oh, he didn't have CBP on recent. You know, it's like,
Yeah.
Who is that? Do you represent that district in Ukraine? I don't understand. They have no concept of what their role is and what their responsibility is. It's almost like this God complex. Like, they control life and death in the entire world. It's like, can we just bring it back down to earth for 1 second? You have a district of, what, like 2,000 people or 5,000 people or 10, whatever, you know? Like, just make your own bed. And then we can talk about saving the world. But in the meantime, I would like to see how the drug use rate in his district looks. I would like to see how the crime status in his district looks. Like, the quality of life in his district, what's up there? Does he know? Does he care? Or is he FaceTiming Ukraine? What, like, what was that? It's just all so stupid. It's, you know, it's like, I feel like I'm watching a bunch of theater kids, and it would be amusing if they weren't, like if they didn't have actual power. Like, that sucks that they do.
We, Josh from Tennessee called in. Passionate and rightfully so. I get it. He said, Slater, you spent this whole hour criticizing the Democrats for waving the flags and doing all this other stuff. But the, you know, the top of the hour intro has Andrew talking about the people who say they're for you, but they're not really for you. He's like, you haven't criticized Republicans in this whole thing at all. So I want to set that up for you, for the Republicans who voted for this as well, and not reluctantly either.
I'm sorry, but I didn't realize we were talking about Democrats this whole time. I was fully under the impression that this goes for both. I mean, there's not two parties. If this taught anybody anything, there are not two parties. That's theater. Again, like, that's theater. It's just nonsense. There are not two parties. The Republicans were giddy, save, like, what, 10 of them? We're giddy to vote for this totally Democrat priority centered bill. There was not one line in that bill about Republican priorities, i.e. securing our border. There was not one line. I wasn't on a rant about Democrats. Let me clarify. This was all about the Uni Party. They're not Democrat. What does that even mean? That's a meaningless term in this Congress. Listen, Johnson is not like a real thing. He's just not. Like, he got completely rolled by Schumer. He got completely rolled by McConnell, who is obviously not representative of Republican priorities. He got completely rolled by Joe Biden. There have been multiple instances of that in the last couple months. I mean, I feel like almost actually every headline is either about Johnson, is either Johnson acting on behalf of the White House, on behalf of Democrats in the Senate, or on behalf of the security state with that FISA fiasco. This person is not a Republican. He doesn't represent Republicans. And that, for that matter, that applies to most of Republican Congress. Like, these people just have an R under their next to their name, and it's symbolic. But I don't think anybody buys it. Like, I was assuming that we were talking about both of them this whole time. These That's people right. are worthless
so,
to us.
So good. What? How do you explain these flip-flops? It's a term we haven't thought of it. I haven't used it, the flip flop, but these are big ones from Mike Johnson on all those issues you just mentioned about. What's to explain for that? Because people, we want an explanation, because we're rational people who want to make sense of things. So I'm getting phone calls of people like, oh, like skeletons in the closet, like the deep state got to them, or, you know, being bought off, like tons of money. Like, what's the explainer for crazy flip flops, 180s?
I think that it's much more simple than that. You know, watching Johnson, to me, this is just my opinion, obviously. I don't know one way or another. I wasn't in the skiff if they, you know, showed him some sort of compromising picture or whatever. But what it appears to me is that this guy's just out of his league. What it feels like watching him is like watching, like, you know, a girl in grade 5 on the basketball team playing against, like, playing an NBA game.
That's right.
It's like...
Yeah.
That's what, like, just totally out of his depth, totally out of his league. Couldn't rise to the occasion, couldn't rise to the moment. You know, there are some people, like Donald Trump comes to mind, who, you know, have little to no experience in a particular role, but, you know, they get into the role and they grow into it really fast. They pick it up really fast. They have enough street smarts and a good gut, and they can kind of smell what's going on and really understand it and assume the role really seamlessly. This guy got thrown into a role that was way above his pay grade and just crumbled. That's what my impression is of this. I don't think that there is anything more nefarious or complicated than that. He can't handle it.
Yeah. Either could I. But like, I think about if I was thrown in that role, I'd be like, oh, I'm like a terrible negotiator. I think I wouldn't know what to do either. So it's not even to criticize. It's just like, you're right. Like, it's not, you can't not being a nice Christian man isn't, I guess, enough for that role.
What even, I actually totally think that that's totally, and listen, I'm Jewish, but I think that's totally wrong with all due respect later. A man of conviction and a man of faith doesn't act like this. This is like not even like, no. Somebody who has strong principles, who they live by. Yeah, I know a lot of very religious people of many faiths, and they could be offered anything and they don't budge.
You're right.
Even like this is actually, I think, him faltering in many ways on his lifestyle of faith. I think that this was him kind of getting intimidated and saying, screw it.
Yeah. Well said. I want to pivot over to what's going on in college campuses. I don't know where you live in. You said Brooklyn last week. So you're a bit of a ways from Broadway and 116th. Although I'm sure you could venture.
Apparently it's not safe for me. I could be hunted.
Yeah, no, for real. So like one of the main rabbis on campus are connected to the student group on campus, sent a message out saying to the 300 people, kids he's associated, like, get out of there. Like, you're not safe at Columbia University right now. We see what's happening at Yale University as well. Is it a big deal, or is it college kids being goofy college kids?
It's funny. I remember being first year at Hannity in 2016, 2017. And coming out of college, and that was my first job. And I remember saying, like, we gotta do more segments on madness on college campuses, because these aren't just your run-of-the-mill liberals who are gonna like start paying taxes and start coming around to American ideas. Like, these are anti-American, like straight up communists, like militant communists. And I remember saying that. And it was like, oh, no, like kids are like that. Like colleges are like that, And I've heard that line, from people who haven't experienced college campuses in the last decade, And no, this is not kids being kids in college. These are hardened, radical Marxists, like straight up Marxists. And I don't like to LARP, I don't like to be dramatic. Definitely try not to be insane as much as possible. But that is like exactly what they are. I mean, if you're looking at what these people are talking about, and they've been talking about this, this is just the flavor of the day, this Israel-Palestine thing. These people have been talking about destroying the system, overthrowing America and all that for since I've been there. And that's almost 10 years ago, and it's been like that even before. No, this is not normal. These are not normal college kids, normal protests in college. These people are radicals, they're violent, and they mean what they are saying. They're telling you what they say. They're proud of their ideology, and they're telling you what they mean. And these are revolutionaries. This is a very big problem. And listen, I hear a lot of people, which they're right, to say, like, we got to get the cops in there and shut this down. But this is a much deeper problem than just what's going on at Columbia today. This is endemic. This is cultural. This is a philosophy held by the faculty, by the staff, by the presidents of these organizations. I mean, you saw that hearing. The Columbia one is pretty bad, but the one with President Gay of Harvard and with Penn, these people are right there at the top of these schools, and they hold this radical ideology. This is dangerous. This is an anti-American element that's festering and incubating on our most elite campuses, and these people go on to hold very elite positions in society. This is very dangerous. This needs to be dealt with today. And, Trump actually has at least somewhat of a concept of it, and he somewhat put his arms around it. He has proposed that we just make an accredited university online that's funded by the government, anyone, whether they're in Oklahoma or in New York City or in LA or in Nebraska, can log on and get the exact same courses. These courses obviously teach the classics, but they also teach, you know, pride in your country. There's some sort of patriotism element that's laced through. And it's going to be virtually free, or if not free, then, you know, at a very low cost. And this is something, like, we need to get people out of these institutions. We need to force these institutions to reform and compete again, because there has to be serious reform here. This is a big problem, and it's very dangerous. It cannot be overstated. What these people are doing is going on every single campus in every single classroom across this country. This is what your children are learning when you're paying $50,000 a year to send them to get smarter. They're not only not getting smarter, but they're becoming brainwashed into this poisonous and destructive and spiritually damaging ideology.
Yeah, Yale's $90,000 a year right now, by the way.
But there you
I love your point on, it's more than just how do we best clear up the tents on cross campus at Yale, because it's an inconvenience to have to walk around it.
People are going back to their dorms. They're the same people. These are the same people burning flags and beating up Jewish students walking by them. Mm. And listen, it's Jews today. But, I mean, when, you know, every other day of the week, it's Christians, it's white people. I mean, obviously these people are violent, like violently racist. They hate white people. The reason why they hate Jews is because Jews are, like, quote unquote, like white, like coded, you know. Basically they've decided that certain races and ethnicities succeed in a merit-based system, and their beef is with the meritocracy. So they have, like, violent tendencies toward people who, quote-unquote, uphold this system, i.e. thrive in it.
And,
and today it's Jews. Tomorrow it's everybody else. On a normal day, it's everybody else. I've been there. I went to these schools. It's disgusting. And those people think that way, even if Israel and Palestine are not in a war.
There's one American flag on the Yale campus, and they were sure to tear that one down as well.
Yeah, I bet. I'm surprised they didn't burn it.
Yeah. I bet they did. I only got a minute left, Emma Jo, because we have a way more important guest than you that I want to make sure we give full time.
Right.
So I want to make sure I really cut you limit this answer that you are about to give. But Trump trial, are you into this? Are you following it? Do you find it to be such a big distraction that you're like boycotting it, or where's your head at with it?
Well, I'm following it and into it because, like, I kind of have to be, because this thing is a big deal. But yeah, it's only a big deal because of the people involved and the amount of power that they have. You know, obviously Trump is basically, like, under house arrest in New York City right now, and will be for this foreseeable future, at least the next 4 or 6 weeks. So this thing is absurd. I mean, especially absurd given what the Democrats did last election, do every election, and is totally actually normal political behavior, which is trying to do everything in your power as a representative of the campaign to curb bad press against the candidate, which is exactly what this guy's on trial for. It's such a joke. It's total circus. He is on trial for, quote unquote, a catch and kill incident in the National Enquirer, which was trying to get the story about Stormy Daniels and him sleeping with Stormy Daniels, which really, I mean, in hindsight, who cares? But I guess at the time they saw that as negative coverage. They're correct. They tried to get the story killed. Totally normal behavior. This is literally the role of a publicist. Michael Cohen wasn't officially a publicist in his capacity with the Trump campaign, but anybody can be. It's not like you need a license. He was acting as a publicist for Trump. And somehow now that's illegal and quote-unquote election interference. You know what I think is election interference? When Anthony Blinken went to the head of the CIA, Mike Morrell, and got the CIA involved in doing the exact same thing, but with the power of the CIA, i.e. the laptop from hell.
Yep. I heard a bird chirping in the background. That was a lovely sound there. Enjoy your time in Florida, Emma Jo.
Yeah. Isn't my vibe zen?
even if you're not, the bird brought it down to the nice level place. where we all should be. Very zen. Emma Jo Morris, Breitbart Politics Editor, Emma Jo NYC on the Twitter. Thanks, Emma Jo.
Thank you.
Listen to that. She's like an aviary right now.
I'm American made. I got American parts.
Thanks for listening to Breitbart News Daily. This came up in passing today during today's show, but it may be the best example of TDS yet. One of the consequences of TDS is it makes Democrats or anyone with it to hold the opposite position of Trump. And Trump's stance on abortion has led to many pro-abortion people praising pro-lifers, which is hilarious. So we'll dive more detail into that on tomorrow's show, among other things too. Mike Slater, Breitbart News Daily. Spread the word.